Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. And a very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us. We hope that you will have a meaningful worship experience, and we hope that you certainly feel welcome because you are. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider Main Street. And if you would give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, we can have someone get in contact with you and let you know about what's going on in the life of the church. And if at this time you would please pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. At this time, Lee Roberts, our congregational nurse, has a few words that she would like to say to you.
Good morning. As you'll notice in your bulletins today is Organ, Eye, and Tissue Donor Sunday in the United Methodist Church. I don't know if y'all are like me. I didn't know we had one, but this is a very significant day. And this is made all the more meaningful because of what happened in one of our other sister churches in the Greenwood District just recently. They had a member who became gravely ill very suddenly, and within a very short period of time was pronounced brain dead. Her family honored her wishes to become an organ donor in the midst of their grief, and it was only through their generosity and love to honor her wishes that at least six people's lives were saved by her death. These people were no longer on the brink of death because of her wishes. The United Methodist Church advocates organ and tissue donation as a life-giving act, and this certainly was one. What was certainly an agonizing decision for one family brought hope and joy and life to many others. There are over 660 people on the organ donor list waiting for organs in South Carolina alone. There are 94,000 people in the United States who need organs. Please prayerfully consider becoming an organ, eye, or tissue donor at the time of your death. In South Carolina, simply having your wishes in writing are not non-binding, whether you sign the donor card that's in your bulletin today, or whether you have it signed on the back of your driver's license. The main thing is to let your family know your wishes. Discuss it with your family. Discuss it with your physician. Please prayerfully consider this and let your desires be known to others. The Apostle Paul claimed, "In everything God works for good. In life and in death, God works for good." You and I can have a hand in this great work because organ donation is about living, and it's about someone else's life. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Lee. Our Pastor's Relief Fund, the purpose of which is to help those in need in our community with rent and other necessities, is depleted. So if you are looking for a place that you might be of some service, replenishing of the Pastor's Relief Fund would certainly be an area that would be put to great use. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday, November the 19th, so please remember that, at which point in time that we will make a commitment to God of our stewardship responsibilities for the coming year. Main Streeters, reminded that your holiday luncheon will be on Tuesday, November the 28th at 11:30. We'll be in the Fellowship Hall, and the musical program will be provided by the Greenwood High School Show Choir at 12:30. So please use the cards in the pews to make reservations for that, or call the church office and let them know that you will be attending that. And that's Tuesday, November the 28th. We've got quite a number of events that will be taking place in the life of our church over the next couple of weeks. November the 26th, we will be having our pre-decorating for the hanging of the greens. All of you are invited to help Main Street as we prepare for Advent that night. We'll begin at 5 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. We'll begin with supper, and then immediately following the supper, the adults will remain there to begin preparations for Advent, and the children will go to their individual Sunday school classrooms and decorate those classrooms. So that's November 26th. December 1st is our annual Advent Festival. That's on Friday. It will be from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock. There will be crafts for children, Advent wreaths for the family. The event is open to the entire community, so please bring your friends to that. There will be hot dog plates available. They're free to the children and $5 for adults. And then the next night, Saturday, December the 2nd, from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock p.m., will be Parents' Night Out. That is for children 3 years old and up. There will be a nursery for children under 3. Reservations are due by Monday, November the 27th, and there will be a cost of $5 a child due at the time of registration. So, parents, if you need a night out, that's a good opportunity for you to have a night out together and bring your kids here. And then the next day, Sunday, December the 3rd, there will be a lunch, and in your newsletter it says a lunch for Steve Skinner's Honduras medical mission trip. Well, Steve will not be going alone this year. Mary-Kate Dooley will be going with Steve, so this will be a lunch for Steve and Mary-Kate's Honduras medical mission trip. It will be immediately following the 11 o'clock service in the Fellowship Hall, and tickets for that are $5 and are available in the church office. Our gathering this week, we continue with that. Program at 5:15, meal at 5:15, the program at 6:15. Again, you have two choices. Reverend Dennis will be beginning a Bible study on the book of Philippians, and Jim and Kathy Kelly will be continuing leading a Bible-based exploration of marriage and commitment. And your question for this week, who takes out the garbage at your home? So you've got two choices for your program on Wednesday night. Again, please make reservations using the pew cards. The meal this week will be pork tenderloin, and that will be prepared by the Drake class. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
please stand and join me in the call to worship? Blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord, who seek God with their whole heart. Give thanks to the Lord. God's love endures forever. Please join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. Brothers and sisters, from time to time we experience a new beginning in our faith journey when the Holy Spirit breaks into our lives to inspire us, to lead us, and to deepen our commitment to Christ. Today we praise the Lord for what has been happening in our confirmands' lives. We ask God's presence with us and these young people today as they take this faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to call Jimmy Logan up for our stewardship moment.
Good morning. When Steve Skinner asked me a couple of weeks ago if I'd be comfortable speaking about stewardship, I said, no, I'm not comfortable at all. You know, after all, who is comfortable about speaking about stewardship? But I thought about it a couple of days, called him back, said I would do it. And the reason I did that is because isn't that really what stewardship is all about? It's about not being totally comfortable. It's not always convenient, but we do it anyway. And this congregation, this church, does a good job at doing that. Giving your time, your talents, your gifts, your prayers. Which is really, I have 3 points, and this is my point number one. When when we're asked to spread pine straw out, we do it. It's not always convenient. So on a Saturday, we got 1,000 other things to do, but we do it anyway. When we're asked to hang sheetrock out in the foyer, we do it. This congregation does it. When we're asked to bake something for the bazaar, this congregation steps up and does it. So it's really not always comfortable, it's not always convenient, but this congregation does a great job in doing that and always has, and I know always will. Which really leads me to my point number two, and I'm borrowing this one from my friend Coach Shell Dula. And I have 3 points today, Shell, so I hope you got that. I'm on point number two now, in case you're keeping score. But point number two is from Coach Dula, and he tells our Sunday school class, and he tells his players, you know, if you're not moving forward, then you're moving backward. Nothing ever stays the same. When Cindy and I moved back to Greenwood about 5 years ago, we were sitting in the fellowship hall, and somebody came up and said, well, what do you think about the new building? And I said, well, I think it's great. We were sitting in the fellowship hall. I said, well, we're sitting in it. Because in my eyes, that was the new building. When I was growing up, we went through a capital campaign, and the new building was the fellowship hall. And they said, no, you don't understand. We're building yet another new building. And so when we talked about giving to the capital campaign, it really wasn't about, to us, bricks and mortar. It was really about moving forward. It was really about an expression of the church giving back to the community and showing that we were making progress, we were moving forward, and that we were doing something good. And it doesn't have to be bricks and mortars, obviously. You know, it can be our outreach ministry. It can be the things that this congregation does for the community. But it was a sign that we were making progress and that we were moving forward. My final point, point number three, I've entitled, Who Are We Kidding Anyway? Who Are We Kidding Anyway? These past few Sunday nights, we've been among the congregation has been doing a Dave Ramsey class. And if you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey is a renowned faith-based financial planner. He talks about how to get your financial affairs in order, and it's biblically based. And so we've been talking about that, and he has his own call-in talk show, radio show. And before he became national and before he was on 60 Minutes and all of that, I remember I was working in Middle Tennessee at the time, driving around in my car on business, and he had a caller to call into his radio show. And the caller said, now, Dave, I'm trying to follow your program. I'm trying to be financially prudent in my financial life and also in my spiritual life, and I'm thinking about how much to give back to my church. And I'm looking at my tax return here, and I'm deciding now, should I give a percentage off my gross income, my top line, or should I give a percentage off my net income? And there was a dead silence on the radio. I adjusted my knob because I thought I'd lost the radio station. And the caller on the other end said, Dave, are you still there? And Dave, in a very low voice, said, Who are you kidding anyway? Do you think God doesn't see what your tax return is? And so that always stuck with me, and really stewardship, I think, is about you and your God, about me and my God, and what do you really want to give back to the church? Those were my really three prepared points for this morning, but if you indulge me just for one moment, I had one other point, and we talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning. Many of you were at the YMCA prayer breakfast this past week. Les Steckel, who is a renowned football coach, who is now president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, gave a nice talk at the prayer breakfast. And at the end, he said, and he was talking about 9/11, and at the end he said, if the terrorist could die for a lie, shouldn't we be able to live for the truth? Shouldn't we be able to live for the truth? And that's when it hit me. That's really what stewardship is about, living the truth. Thank you.
As we approach our prayer time, I need to update you on some other concerns. I do want you to please look on the back page of your bulletin, our prayer concerns. I will not read through all of them, but as an update and as an addition to Hank Strock, who's been visiting with us, his brother was killed suddenly over the weekend in a car crash. Let us be in prayer for his family. Kathy Carr broke her foot this past week, but still brought the message at the 828 service. I think she deserves combat pay and our prayers. Andrew Kynard, the update from Betty and Dr. Kynard yesterday is that his kidneys are in trouble. He is badly injured, you know, in Iraq, a roadside bomb, but as well, his kidneys are sort of shut down and he is on dialysis. So let us be in deep prayer for Andrew Kynard. Peggy Ackerman recovering from surgery, Karen Dent, John Tidwell, we've helped him get into a new home, a safer home. He's out of the hospital. Candace Peppers had a heart procedure in Florida this past week. R.J. Fife has returned home from Afghanistan. Jack Carmody's wife, Carrie, is in the emergency room right now. They're having tests run. We don't know exactly what's wrong with her. Ray Ballantyne tolerating chemo for cancer. Joyce Bartless, we continue to be in prayer for. Graham Rogers was in hospital this last week. And also Newell Whitener was in the hospital this past week. These updates and additions, along with our concerns, let us hold them up as we pray together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, Lord of all there is, and Lord of faithfulness, Lord of grace and love, forgiveness and truth. There are times when we feel weak in our faith, and the faithfulness of others spurs us on to grow in faithfulness and trust. We stand in awe of those who can forgive great wrongs without bitterness and rage. We stand in awe of those who can love when there is no love in return. We stand in awe of those who can give sacrificially and joyfully. Truly, these are those who have been swept up by your Spirit. Give us the courage to give ourselves more completely over to you. And now, Father, for the world and what we have made of it, we do pray. And for the leaders of the nations of the world, we do pray that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. And Father, we pray for one another and for ourselves, for those who grieve, for those who have illness of body and of spirit. For those who seek guidance, we do pray that you touch them as they make up the decisions that make direction in their lives. Lord, time passes so quickly. And what we hold for such a short while. Give us hearts to hold loosely what we cannot keep. And give us souls to grasp firmly onto you, our hope in life and death. Now, Father, hear the silent prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite our confirmation class forward. Josie Adams, Brady Britt, Scurry Charles, Rakeem Childs, David Kidwell, Nick Nichols, Haley Rogers, and Rebecca Sly. I'll ask the confirmation class to have its hymnals with them and ask the congregation to turn to page 33. I actually don't need you to kneel quite yet, but thank you. It's been an adventure the past 6 months with this confirmation. It seemed like 6 months. No, it's been about 6 weeks. They have been delightful. They have been energetic. And they have decided that they want to make this statement of faith, this statement of faith by themselves, not with their parents standing behind them as we sometimes do, but as a confirmation class, they want to make this statement of faith by themselves. I will ask parents, grandparents, and sponsors to stand where you are. I can have you do that, if you will, as we confirm your children. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism and acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I now present for confirmation Josie, Brady, Scurry, Rakeem, David, Nick, Haley, and Rebecca. Now I address you, the confirmation class, these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you individually confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Now, according to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? I will. Now, to the congregation. Will you, who sponsored these candidates, support and encourage them in their Christian life? To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Now to all, confirmation class and congregation, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now I will ask for each of you to kneel. Rakeem, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nick,
The Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. David, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Scurry, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brady, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Josie, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Haley, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rebecca, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now please stand. Now, as members of Christ Universal Church, and you have professed your faith and are that, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? I will. And now, as members of this congregation, this particular congregation of the United Methodist Church, will each of you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Amen. And now, congregation, members of the household of God, I ask you to turn around and face the congregation. Face your family in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. And we have some confirmation boxes with gifts in them. You can take these hymnals back with you. Where are the confirmation boxes? Oh, over here. You can pick up the one of the confirmation boxes as a gift from the congregation. If y'all please be seated. We can welcome them if you'd like. And I will. I will ask them to stand with me at the end of the service to greet every one of you. We'll ask the children to come forward now for the children's service with Mary Alexander.
Good morning.
Oh,
sorry. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Good. Give me this. You know, every morning on Sunday during worship service, we take up an offering, and the ushers go up and down the aisles, and they, pass the offering plate, which this is the offering plate. They pass it back and forth down the aisles, and the rows, and they take up the money. And hopefully, it has lots of money in it at the end. And you'll see these, this is what we have that we put our offering in every week, and we put that in. And then you'll see $20 bills sometimes, and tens and fives, ones. And then you'll see change like quarters and pennies.
And dimes.
And dimes and nickels.
And sometimes have dollars.
Who do you think, what do you think is a sign that you've given a lot of money? Is it the person that gives the 20s?
No.
The 10s?
The hundreds.
No. The hundreds.
No. It's the person that gives them the
most. It's the one that gives
them. What about the penny? Do you think the rich people give pennies? No. You think that's it?
Yeah.
Can we say that the person that gave the penny gave the most?
No.
No? Are you sure about that?
Only the one that gave the 100.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a story. One day, Jesus was sitting outside where the offering was put in, and he was watching all the people come in and put in their money. And the rich people would put in 20s and 10s and 5s and 100s.
And 9 million.
Okay. And then a widow came up, and she put in 2 copper coins that is worth less than a penny. And Jesus called his disciples over, and he said, "This widow gave more than all because she gave with her heart. She gave everything that she had." And I'm going to tell you another story. One time there was a little boy, and back a long time ago, newspapers that are delivered to your homes now were sold on street corners, and a lot of times children would sell them.
What?
And there was this little boy whose family was very poor, and to help them out, he sold newspapers on the corner. And it was really cold one morning. He had gotten up early, and it was snowing, and he was just freezing, and nobody was buying newspapers. And there was a church down the street, and he decided that he was going to slip into that church and get warm. So he went in and he sat on the back row and he listened to the preacher, and the preacher was telling a story about how Jesus loves all of us so much and gives us everything he has. And the little boy was sitting there, and they started taking up an offering, and he watched them go up and down the aisles, and they got to him, and the usher held out the offering plate. And the little boy looked at the usher, and he looked down, and he looked back up, and he said, "I have no money. I sold no newspapers this morning." And then he did something really different. He said, "Would you put the offering plate on the floor?" And the usher did, and the little boy stepped in one foot, and then he stepped in the other. And he said, "If everything that the preacher just said about Jesus is true, that he gave so much for me, then I want to give my life to him." And that's what Jesus wants us all to do, is to dedicate our lives to him.
Sorry. To step in an offering plate.
Yeah. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for everything that you give to us, because everything we have comes from you. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If you would like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, you can turn to page 301. This story about Ruth and Naomi tells us how God cares for them when they are going through troubling times. And it also points to us as to how God takes care of us when we go through troubling times as well. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman, Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor,
But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize her. For he said, "It must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, as we turn to the epistle reading, this is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. And this is found on page 271 in your pew Bibles. "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All these roads are beautiful.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough resources for our own needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these offerings, these gifts. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 38. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've already had practice this morning at 8:28, shortening my 11 o'clock service down to 10 minutes. Perhaps that's what we'll do again. But then 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got out 10 minutes early. Can I get those minutes back? No? I'm not sure how that works. There was a boy named Ryan in one of my former churches who had absolutely no filter on his mouth. He would say whatever came to mind. And once he noticed, we had a visiting preacher who came, and he noticed while we were eating lunch afterwards that the preacher had on a gold ring with rubies and diamonds in it. And Ryan, because he just wanted to know, said, "Do you think Jesus would wear a ring like that?" Ryan, in an MYF meeting one time, when I mentioned in passing the widow's mite, just expecting that he had heard of the widow's mite story before, as we heard in the children's sermon today, I said something about the widow's mite, and he said, "The widow's mite what? The widow's mite what?" Well, this widow might never be forgotten because she trusted God with all her might, with all her strength. Now, I do want to make clear that Jesus did not expressly condemn the giving of large sums. I want to make that perfectly clear. You may still give large sums. But he did say that the widow with her 2 cents, I'll call them, gave more because she had nothing left over. The huge givers gave less because they had so much left over. I read that Bill Gates in the past few years has given away billions, but he still has 58 billion left over. It didn't hurt him. The widow's might was in her trusting God more than money. Whatever others gave, she gave more because she had nothing left over. William Barclay wrote that real giving must be sacrificial. The amount of the gift never matters so much as its cost to the giver. Not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice. Mother Teresa said, "If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving." Giving should be, on some level, sacrificial. It should cost. Have you ever wondered how it was that this widow caught Jesus' attention? You'd wonder even more if you could picture, and I'll try to paint a word picture of what it was like there at the temple in Jerusalem. We know from history that there were 13 collection boxes at the Jerusalem temple, and scholars believe that the mouth of them was shaped like trumpets made of some sort of metal funneling down into a box. 13 trumpets with the coins spiraling down into the box. There was no paper money. So all the giving was accompanied by noise. Can you imagine all the noise of 13 brass trumpets constantly jingling and jangling coins of different sizes and amounts? And then imagine what a puny sound the widow's 2 tiny coins must have made in the midst of all that. And yet in the middle of all the clang and clamor, Jesus noticed the widow dink, dink. She gave 2 lepta, the smallest coins in circulation. Now, we're not talking about a lot of money here, but it was all she had. But even if she had hoarded it for herself, it wouldn't have helped her very much. It might have paid for 1 small meal, But after that, she would be back to trusting God and the kindness of strangers. Those coins were not going to change her life. When you've got so little, a penny or two is not going to move you up and out of your situation. But she chose the peace and the joy of doing what she could do. She chose where her 2 cents went. She gave to the temple treasury. She knew with the coins or without them, she was still a dependent person. All she could do was show who she depended upon. I wonder where we are in this story. It is worth thinking about. Jesus had just warned the disciples to watch out for the religious leaders who wear long robes and stand in the best seats in the sanctuary. I'm at the one with the spotlight on it. I suppose it's a pretty good seat. He spoke against the religious leaders. He spoke against those who were actually running the temple. But he still said it was a great faith and a great act. And the widow gave all the more than anyone else because she trusted God, even giving to this temple run by people that Jesus had just disparaged. She was poor. She was poor because she was a widow. Most women in that day were totally dependent upon their husbands and then upon their sons for economic survival. If they had neither, then they were impoverished. In contrast to the scribes and to the rich people who were giving their offering, she has no social standing. She has no safety net. Except for Jesus' notice, she was probably invisible to the crowd. There was no reason to believe that the rich who were giving very large sums were hypocrites. There's no reason to believe that from the text. They may have been just as faithful to the widow. But the difference was that the widow knows her need of God in the way that the rich could not fathom. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, because they know, really know, their utter dependence upon God." We, because we're pretty well off, most of us, sometimes need a catastrophe, a crisis, to really get down on our knees praying. This widow had to get down on her knees and pray for her daily bread just to make it through each day. Now, I do know that there is pain on every pew, and there are times there have been difficult situations for you, and perhaps some of you are going through those right now. But it is those difficult times when we are closest to God, when relationships falter, when health deserts us, when loved ones suffer or die, when we can't pay our bills and we can't see a way out, those are the times when we pray without ceasing, when we understand how dependent upon God we are always. Outside of those times, many of us live under the illusion that we control our destiny. We don't. We rely upon our education, our competency, our connections, our prestige in the community, extended family. All of those things may be very good. But remember, Jesus doesn't praise the folks in charge or the folks who are not in crisis, the ones who seem to be the movers and the shakers. He commends only the widow, the one who knows and acknowledges her complete dependence and trust in God. I knew a man in my first church named Bill Metters. He's passed on now. He worked hard and he made good money as a contractor. He raised a large family and he briefly lived in Georgia where he joined a little Methodist church there. And he told me what happened there. Turns out that he was the chief giver. He found this out because they started treating him differently. He only gave a tithe, which he considered his bounden duty, but apparently they considered him something rare and prominent, and they started to ask him about every major decision in the life of that church. They'd say, "Bill, what do you think? What do you think, Bill?" They started to defer to him and ask him to be on every committee. Finally, he put two and two together, and he said, "Look, I'm nothing special. I am not giving to gain anything. I'm giving because I've already gained everything from God. I'm sorry, but we have different ideas about how a church should run. I'm going to have to find another church where giving is something that everybody does." And so he left because they tried to make him prominent and powerful, and all he wanted to do was be faithful. Reverend Gordon Cosby tells this story. A deacon sent for me one day and told me that he wanted my help. He said, we have in our congregation a widow with 6 children, and I look at the records and discovered that she is putting $4 a week, a tithe of her true income, into the collection plate. Now, she's not able to do that, and preacher, we want you to talk to her and tell her that she shouldn't feel any obligation or responsibility about that. Now, Gordon says, I am not wise now, and I was even less wise then. I went and told her the concern of the deacons, and I told her as graciously and as supportively as I could that she was relieved of the responsibility of giving. And then Gordon writes, as I was speaking with her, tears began to stream down her face. She said, I want to tell you that you are taking away the last thing that gives my life dignity and meaning. This widow, just like the one Jesus noticed, lived with one foot in the world where money matters most and the other foot in God's kingdom where trust in God matters most. She knew that she was wholly dependent upon the riches of God's grace. And she participated in God's work and acknowledged God's sustenance and even leaned into that sustenance by giving back from her meager resources. I wonder if it is possible to be relatively healthy and financially secure with all our loved ones safe and sound and still be deeply in touch with our dependence upon God. Human nature being what it is, when things are going well, we tend to forget God. I think that for many of us, our default in easy times is self-reliance, trusting in our own might. But maybe we can learn from the widow's example and remember the times when we knew that only God sustained us moment by moment. Each of these widows, the biblical one and the one I just spoke of, found a way to act out their faith with the simple ritual of putting a little bit of money into an offering plate, sacrificial giving, showing how deeply she trusted God. Now, there are other things that we can do to show that we trust God. One is to come here each week hoping that the worship service will be worshipful, hoping that the preacher will have something to say, hoping that in the prayer and in the music and in the fellowship we will be touched, we will be uplifted in our faith, or perhaps find direction. It doesn't happen every week, but we come with hope and we come to worship God. Daily prayer, daily scripture reading, singing to God, praises in the shower, which is the only place I'm allowed to sing. Y'all won't let me sing in the mic here. There are many things we can do to show that we trust and worship God. And if we've become stale in our faith, we can reach out with hands-on service to others to reconnect on our service to others in the name of Christ who has served us. Once Caroline and I took a Thanksgiving meal, all the fixings for a Thanksgiving meal to a couple we knew was having financial difficulties. We didn't know how bad the difficulties were. They had no power at all. They could not cook it, and we had this raw turkey to hand them. So we had to take it back home. They were embarrassed. We were embarrassed, and we couldn't afford to pay their power bill. So we cooked their whole meal and took it back to them a second time. Giving money is good, but giving of yourself is better. Our men's club builds ramps, and that small act has power in it by showing God's love and touching the life and the heart and the needs of another. Our UMW has a prison ministry, and that small giving of time has might in it because it shows love with skin on to women who might otherwise feel they were forgotten by God. Our backyard Bible club, that small might of time each month may well make the difference in the course of a life for God. And the small might of time teaching a Sunday school class. Who knows what power will come from the foundation that God helps build through your prayer and your presence and classes and in worship and in studies. Through your attendance and your invitation of others, that small might, that small gift of service has real power and might in showing whose side you're on. Sure, you can and should give money too, but not to pay the bills. You give money because God gave first. A young Kenyan woman And her two small children were frequent worshipers in their village church. And every day was a struggle for her and her poor family. At a worship service, as the offering plate was being passed, this poor African mother removed her ragged sandals. And when the offering plate was passed to her, she took the basket and she placed it on the ground beside her. And reverently and humbly and gently, she stepped into it, her whole body in the middle of the basket, just similarly to Mary Alexander's story. As she prayed quietly, a hush fell over the small congregation. After a few moments, she stepped out of the basket, picked it up, and passed it on. May we know in our heart and soul that God is our rock and our Redeemer, the source of strength and hope and courage and life eternal. May we continue to offer up all that we have and all that we are, our very selves, in response to the One who gave Himself for us. Amen. Please stand. I'd like to give everyone the opportunity to meet and to greet and to congratulate our confirmation class. I'm going to ask our confirmands to please precede me out so that you can get beyond the crowd. They each thought long and hard about actually taking these membership vows and confirming their faith. Some, even up until this day, weren't sure whether they were ready to make this commitment. They took it very, very seriously and should be congratulated for doing so. Receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit present in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.